Welcome, everybody, to another exciting edition of the Pulling on Heaven podcast. And for those keeping track at home, this is Western Shirt Edition 15 or 16. We're getting to be like the Fast and Furious movies. Mm-hmm. You know, we just keep going and keep going. I don't know if we might have to be our permanent uniform.
You know, it's comfortable.
I know. But next time we'll have to wear cowboy hats.
Ah, there you go. Haven't done that for a while.
How are you today, Pastor?
Great. How are you doing, Steve?
I am doing fantastic. Mm. And I am excited about our conversation today because I feel like I can relate very, very much with it on kind of both sides of the issue. And there was something you started, you kicked off the year. I don't know how far into the year we are now. I don't even know what year it is now. It doesn't really matter because God is now. But there was a great quote that you started off 2026 with, and this was really the word that would carry us into this season of incredible joy and incredible harvest and fruitfulness. And it was the idea of not acting in impatience, but leading with persistence.
Yeah.
And I think that is such a strong and powerful word. And even I remember hearing it, and I was even thinking about some things in my mind, just my own personal position of things. And it really prophetically spoke to me and answered some things personally for me. But I think even on the broader level, I think it's a powerful way to look at things, because I think it's very easy to be in a place where God calls us to do something and it seems like it's taking forever. But on the other side, I've also been on that side where I have learned the value of that,
yeah.
You know, and I think when I look at my career, even though I'm only 22 years old, I've been persistent in a particular dream and vision for a very long time. and to a point where I feel like a lot of people would go, well, why haven't you realized you should do something different? But I feel like it's just as fresh and new and in front of me, and something that it would take such a crazy, you know, hand of God to tell me to stop. And so that idea, you can get frustrated by, you know, feeling like you got to keep going and you want to act out of this impatience at times, but other times sometimes I feel like really good about, you know, but you can also fall into complacency about that too. And so it's an interesting paradox to live within, but I think especially coming into this year, and everything's going around us, and we talk about the storms that come and the things that show up in our lives that could cause us to act impulsively or impatiently, yeah. and learning how to walk with that. So I would love, you know, let's talk about that and what you feel like unpacking that, and maybe what you're feeling God is saying even on a more deeper level when he gave you that word for this year.
Well, you know, talking about the new year, we were talking about, you know, a new beginning and new fruit happening, new things coming and taking place. And, you know, if you plant a tree in your yard, let's say it's an apple tree, and it doesn't seem to sprout when you want it to, it doesn't seem to produce fruit the way you want it to, you can cut it down. There's actually a scripture in the Bible that talks about that. And it says that a guy planted a tree and it didn't produce fruit. And he said, cut it down. I've been waiting. It's not doing anything. Guy said, be patient. You know, let's dig around it and let's give it some time. You see, I'm not seeing anything new coming off of it. So, you know, he gave him that, dug around it. And, you know, the hope was it produces more fruit. And if it does, good. If not, cut it down. That's our lives with patience. New fruit doesn't come from a new place. New fruit comes from an old root. Mm. And
that's a great word.
It's patience for what it is, what exists. And when we think about patience, you think about a lengthy period of time, you know, just that waiting period. And no one wants, you know, especially in our society today, you know, immediate gratification, yeah. You know, whatever you want or need to know, you can do it in seconds. And so it becomes harder to conceive that patience is virtue, or at least right. One that we would enjoy, because it takes so long. But the real call of patience is to be aware of what exists in the present. Again, the fruit of the future is in the what was of the root and what still is. It's in the root. So the new fruit comes from the old root. That's where everything comes from. It's from the root. Patience, it anchors us in persistence, and that's what it is. So, you know, don't be impatient, be persistent. You know, don't be misled by impatience, but lead with persistence. And persistence is the understanding that I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. You have everything you need. It's the Genesis story. You know, everything you have, everything you need, you have. I want to be more like God. You are like God. I made you like me. That's what God was saying. Acknowledge that. You know, the new fruit is in the old root. That's persistence.
You know, what it also speaks to me when I think of the word impatience, and I counter that with patience, they're both, they both can have a passive context to that. You know, you can be patient and still not do anything, but you're patient. Right. You're sitting there, you know,
falling asleep.
Yeah, falling asleep or waiting. You're literally a patient, you know, with patience. You're waiting for the doctor to come, right? Or you're impatient, okay? And it's that state. To me it's more like a state. It's a mindset where persistence is proactive.
Exactly.
And it's not, you can be quote unquote waiting on something that you believe God has told you is coming, but you can still be persistent in what he's put before you to do, which is different than just in many ways, I think, than just being patient, because patient means I'm just going to sit here and wait.
Yeah, that's typically the interpretation. Yeah. That's not what it means at all. It, you know, God has given, and the scriptures say, I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who is called with glory and virtue. So what God is getting, I'll say it like this, what God is wanting to get through to us is that patience isn't about a period of time, okay? I understand you can wait for a long time, but when we're waiting for something, instead of waiting in what it is, instead of swimming in its reality, it feels like nothing is happening. But every moment that we are patient in God, we're not being passive. We are being proactive because we're looking at that moment in time, whatever chapter God is reading to us, if you will, we're hearing what God has to say about that moment, because all things mean something. If all things work together for good, then all things mean something good.
Yeah. Okay.
Every moment has a treasure, you know, earthed within it. And we just have to unearth. You have to discover or uncover that. And that comes through, it comes through persistence, which means we know where God, I know where God, you know, people say, well, God sent me here to do this thing, do this ministry, do this business, but I'm not seeing the fruit. Same thing with the analogy with the tree. You know, it's not producing fruit, but it will. It will, because the fruit is in the root. You're looking for it on the branches, but the fruit is in the root. In other words, we have to stick with the root of the situation. The root is the reality. And the reality in us, the root in us, is Christ is doing something every time we are engaged in faith. And we note when we're patient, when we are using our faith, because we're using our faith because we're saying it's not happening. It's not happening. That's why we engage. That's when we realize we're living by faith, is when we are pushed to a point that we say, I don't know what to do, you know, or nothing seems to be happening right now. And so what do I do? It's at that point we either just say, it's not working, it's not God, I'm under attack, something's going wrong, God must be displeased with me. That's where we act out in impatience. Then we kind of want to jump ship and go elsewhere. But if God has placed something in your heart, God has put something before you, he has placed you in a situation. Even if you placed yourself in a situation you can't seem to exit that aisle, then you stand there patiently. What do you mean? Persistently looking and listening for what God is saying and extracting every bit of nutrient out of the soil and out of the root of that moment in time, instead of becoming discouraged or disheartened. And a lot of times It's kind of like standing in a line. Have you ever stood in a line and the other line seemed to be just moving, so you jump over in the other line and then they just close it? We're closed, you know. You have to jump back. Now you're five people further back than you were, you know, and you sat there and another line opens and you run over there in the line and then someone has to call to the back to
traffic on the freeway.
Yeah, exactly.
And you jump to this lane, then you gotta jump to this lane, and then that one stops and
you realize the position you were in checked out 10 minutes ago and you're still. Stay persistent, you know, God, we use this word all the time. The Lord is directing your steps. My steps are ordered of the Lord. My steps are ordered of the Lord. You have to believe that. That's something you have to become concrete in. You have to anchor your ship right there and say, my steps are ordered of God. It doesn't mean you're complacent. It doesn't mean you don't do. It means you're more efficient. You're more effective in where you are. Because if you're in a position that you can't seem to find your way out of, then you find your way in. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're thirsty and you see nothing but desert, start digging. You know, dig until you hit water. And that's persistence. That's patience. It doesn't mean we just hang out and just wait for something to happen. It means we become active in whatever is taking place and we start looking for the gold. You know, look for the ore. God, when the word talks about God is doing a new thing, that word new does not mean, without going into all the Greek and the Hebrew and all this in it, what God is talking about in the Old Testament is that God is doing a new thing. That word literally means he's taking what is and he's bringing it back to its original state, okay? And what we were talking about back in Genesis, you know, back to the Genesis of time. And God, we have this perception that new means God left something out in the beginning. Or something is missing. But if there's something that arrives that you've never seen, you've never been aware of, you've never experienced before, it's new. It's new. It's new to you. There is no new thing under the sun, the word says. Those things which were are and those things which
are. That's good. That's good.
So it's not new in the sense of God just made something brand new that has never existed. Again, God is all things. All things consist and exist in him, by him, of him, through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory, honor, and praise. So we know that all the reality that we need, all that we need is within us. So when we are being persistent, it doesn't mean, again, that we are inactive. It means we become more active in wherever it is we are. You know, I'm in a situation and I'm not sure what to do or where to go. And we sing this song, what are you going to do when you don't know what to do? I'm going to praise him. He's so amazing. And that's what you do. I'm just going to praise you for this situation. I'm not going to abandon ship. I'm not going to leave. I'm going to stay rooted in where I am. The word teaches us that God renews. His word is like silver in a furnace refined seven times. It's pure. Well, silver can be as old, it's as old as the world.
Yeah.
You know, you can take, someone can extract silver out of the earth and turn it into a bracelet, a necklace, earrings, whatever. Well, it gets broken, it gets crushed, it gets mangled. Well, you could say then it's lost its value. No, it's just lost its dimension. We lose our dimension when things happen, our perspective, what really exists. The real value is in that it's silver. You know, it holds its value no matter what state it's in. But if you take a piece of silver that's worth whatever it is per ounce, say you take an ounce of silver, and you turn it into a bracelet, then that value seems to increase based on our appreciation of its design. That's patience. I appreciate the design that you have made. I appreciate that you have valued me based on the design you have made me. So you appreciate who you are. You appreciate where you are. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. That's persistence. Even though it feels like you can't do anything, you're doing a lot because you're appreciating, which is worship to God. You're appreciating, as in a thing appreciates, the value of it because you know what design it is. It's not just a chunk of silver. It's not just a chunk of gold. You know, in today's market, silver has gone crazy. It's someone has appreciated the value of gold. When people become uncertain about the economy, you know, constant values, consistent values, silver, gold, things of those nature appreciate. Well, are they worth anymore, or are we just saying we value them more.
Yeah.
That's patience. You know, we are being patient with an old gold, silver, whatever it may be. And we're saying it is appreciated. We need to appreciate the value of the design God has allowed us to be in. I appreciate this moment. God is taking this broken necklace and he's reshaping it into something that is a design of his own choosing. And the value that I felt I was, he is appreciating me. And all I need to do is remain patient and keep listening, keep growing, keep building on whatever God gives you to build. And he will show you the true value that he has assessed that it is worth. Oh, he will give it its value.
That's so good. I love that. Yeah. And, you know, keeping with that necklace or bracelet analogy, I think when you think of even just from a practical wisdom standpoint, what is the fruit of impatience? It's never anything good. So if you're someone who's a jeweler or a metal worker and you're working when you're trying to make this silver bracelet and create more value for it, let's say, because of the dimension that it's taking on.
Yeah.
And let's say something happens and you get frustrated with it and you get impatient with what you're doing. Is that going to help your work or worsen your work? Usually people, when you get impatient when you're doing something, you either quit or you start doing a bad job. You start hurry, you cut corners because you're impatient. And so what you were working on, that if you took more time and you were persistent in working on it, the impatience, by just even entertaining the impatience, is going to cause that very thing to not turn out the way it's supposed to be anyways.
Yeah, you compromise your skill because you get rushed, you get in a hurry. Yeah, I mean, has there ever been a situation that you thought, well, I wish I had been more patient with that person? You know, look how it...
In the moment, you're like, this is what they deserve. And then afterwards, you're like, oh, man, what did I just do?
Yeah. And maybe you misinterpreted what they were saying or doing. Or, you know, they turned out to be a different person than you, intentionally or initially thought they were. You know, your assessment was marred, was incorrect.
Well, that opens up a whole other can of worms from that sense that so many times when we talk about persistence and the things that make us impatient, sometimes it's those things that we're labeling something without fully understanding what it is, whether this person comes and you're perceiving that they're there to do this. And so you think that that's something that's going to hinder you and then you become impatient with them. Yeah. And then, I mean, how many times I know that my wife, she's come to try and help me and like, I'm in the middle of something like, no, don't talk to me right now. And then I find out that she just thinking that she had some other thing that she wanted to do. And she was just showing up with how she could help me.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. And I allowed, my patience comes from my not having the correct perspective on the situation. And because God likes to work that way and not letting and appearing to us in ways that we don't quite, you know, he appears as a storm or he appears as a fire. And so we don't know, but when we allow we act on our impatience, then we're actually oftentimes, you know, rejecting, forfeiting, or going against the very help, assistance, promotion that he's sending our way.
Yeah, it's kind of like being in a pit. You know, you're falling in a hole. Some guy throws you a rope and you say, get that out of here.
What, are you trying to strangle me?
Right, exactly. I'm just trying to get you out of the hole.
Trying to get out of a hole,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And you're throwing ropes on me.
And that's happened to everyone. Someone comes to help you and you're so involved in your frustrated world that you don't realize if you just take a second, they're going to expedite your exodus, you know,
yeah, totally.
To help you get out of the situation. But it really is, you know, a foundational perspective is if it doesn't breed peace, if whatever, however you're thinking about a situation, if it's robbing you of your peace, if it's robbing you of your joy, if it's causing you to act out impatiently or unkind, or you're acting outside of the spirit of love, then you're thinking about that moment incorrectly. That's impatience. You know, you're upset with someone and you just, you know, I'm tired of them and I'm going to just get away from them. And listen, I know there are people, people need to, you need to part ways for a minute and let God do what he's going to do. I'm not saying just remain in a bad situation, but in the perspective of looking at a situation that you appear to be in and there's no way out. You know, so Daniel's in the den. What does God do? Kill the lions? No. Pull him out of the den? No. He made the lions to be at peace with him. What a great testimony. Be patient. Be persistent. Persist in what God has given you to do. What is at hand? You know, whatever my hand finds to do, what can I do? What can I do in this situation? Well, if I can't do anything else other than have a good attitude, be thankful and celebrate God in the den, then I may be in the den for a long, long time. I may be eaten, you know, by the lions. It's like I said in one of the podcasts, if you don't celebrate God in the storm, you may not get out until you do. So celebrate the Lord in the storm. Celebrate because, and here's what it is, Steve, we, you know, as believers, we have to either believe the word is true all the time or it's only true sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's only true in some scenarios and not in others, or it's true all the time. You know, the word of the Lord is pure, it's true, it's like silver refined in a furnace of a fire seven times. It's as pure as silver gets. But what are you going to do with that silver? And God is always saying, I want to give you the perspective of value. I want you to know we're already of value to him because of what Christ did. So Christ sees us through the nature, or God sees us through the nature of Christ. So how valuable is that? Exceeding abundantly beyond all we know to ask or think. When we're going through a situation and it requires patience, God is shaping something in you. He's making a design that you can perceive him in, so you evaluate that design, and instead of acting out or acting, feeling the sense of being condemned, there's therefore now no condemnation. Condemnation because we just don't value who we are in him enough. Mm-hmm. You know, we're good at depreciating ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, at talking about how, you know, I wish I hadn't done this, and get it. I understand. Everybody wishes at some point they didn't do something that they did. But God's saying, I'm taking you again into the future, which is taking you back to the beginning. Let's take you back to what the initial design was. I am appreciating you. I need you to have that perspective of appreciated value. That's what patience does. It helps us get the most out of the moment.
Wow. Okay, now that we've set a foundation of what that means, you know, this is obviously, this could have been, I'm about to put you on the spot slightly. This could have been this is a foundational truth, and it could have been preached any Sunday, okay? This was beyond the value of what that is. You know, this, you know, I heard you say the word for this year, mm-hmm. you know, and we, to whatever extent you want to talk about what you see happening for the whole year, but it feels like it's still a, you know, you talk about the economy still being this. I know that for years now, you've been talking about we being in the season of 3 years or 3.5 years or so, that not the tribulation, but of God turning things upside down and a lot of stuff happening.
And we're living that.
And we're living that right now. And so, and certainly as you look at the economy, look at the news, you look at all these kinds of things going on. So, but it feels like, therefore, that the fact that this was kind of like a word to everyone for going into this year, how does that position us in looking at what you see? Because you could go, certainly there's ability to say, oh my gosh, if you say that, that means there's a lot of stuff I'm going to need to be persistent through that's going to happen. But you actually said, no, the walking out of this in this coming year, you know, is how you're going to find the joy in the midst of things where maybe other people aren't going to be.
Yeah, it's just a misperception of reality. What is reality? God. God has to be, in order for you to see things in the proper perspective and stay encouraged, you have to see God, Jesus, as the only truth. Pilate said, what is the truth? You know, Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus said, I am the truth. He said, I am the life. So you have to look at, if God is walking with me, he's not just Lord over the situation. We talked about that. Yeah. He's Lord in this moment. So, number one, I have nothing to fear. 365 times it's quoted in the Word. I have nothing to fear. The Lord is with me. Perspective. That brings about joy. I see a great deal of joy. I see a lot of laughter. I see a lot of transformation. I see the Word of the Lord, the gospel of peace, the gospel of good news being propagated, preached all over. I see people coming out away from their drudgingness sense of fear and heaviness. I see a lightness coming over the earth. It doesn't mean that the earth isn't going to rock and reel. It doesn't mean the economy isn't going to swing back and forth a bit. It doesn't mean that at all. But it means in the midst of all that's going on, we are seeing what the truth about this moment is. Mm-hmm. And the way we do that is through the patience that God revealed to me, this is the year to declare patience. Be patient. If you'll stay, if you'll stand still and see the salvation of God, be still and know that I am God, you're going to see the hand of God move in a phenomenal way. But if we abandon ship and run, blame the devil, blame the government, blame whoever you want to blame, then you're going to miss the show. You're going to miss the identity of the moment of this time. So be anchored in, I'm going to walk in joy and peace. And if anything tries to disrupt that, I know that I'm thinking about the situation incorrectly. That's a future step. Number two, I'm going to remain patiently, which means I'm going to persist. I'm not going to sit down in the rocking chair and just wait for God to make it happen. I'm going to persist in any way that God gives me something to do. Whatever my hand finds to do, I'm going to do it with all of my might. And celebrating. There's going to be a great deal of celebrating. We've learned to celebrate the no's. We've talked about that. But we're going to be celebrating a lot of yeses because we have stayed true. We have stayed anchored in where God has placed us. Paul said it this way, whatever state I find myself in, there make I myself to be content. What is he saying? Same thing David was. Why would I be afraid if I'm in the field of green grass by the still waters, rough waters, shadow of death? My enemies, the Lord is with me. I have nothing to fear. That is going to make this season one of the most phenomenal, explosive, witness for Jesus seasons, I believe, that we've experienced in a long time, if not ever, in this or the last few generations. I see the Spirit of God influencing all types of media, whether it's the media platforms that we look at today on our phones and everything, to television, films, creative projects. God is explosively bringing out the identity of his value in his people, what the kingdom is. God's showing us a picture of the kingdom. We are walking through the gardens of the kingdom, eating different fruit that we hadn't eaten before. Been there all along, but we just didn't stop to taste it.
So it seemed new.
Taste and see the Lord is good. New to us is that which we've not experienced before. You know, you show somebody something and say, wow, that's new. Take them to a restaurant they've never been to. Oh, this is a new experience. I've never been here before. Maybe you've been there 10 times. You know, it isn't new, but it's a new experience and it impacts them new, just as if it were created today. That's the wonder of God. God is doing a new thing. He's taking that which was and showing us what it was really intended to be. And the value of it exists and will continue to exist because God is eternal and so are his ways.
Amen. Thanks, Pastor. What a word. Do not act in, I'm going to blow this, aren't I? Impatience. Lead with persistence. Yeah, I guess I need to study that a little bit better myself. All right, everybody, we'll see you soon and onward to an amazing year.